Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
Jesus declared, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." May God bless us now as we hear his word and reflect on it. If you have a Bible at hand, I would like to invite you to open it. Please turn to the New Testament, Book of Acts, chapter 18. While we progress in our study, you can follow the reading according to the guidance that will be given. If you haven't listened to the previous studies, you still can catch up. Go to the website of Lutheran Radio UK and locate the icon Podcasts. Then find Acts of the Apostles, where all the studies are listed. In our last study, we have been traveling with the Apostle Paul and his companions on the second missionary journey, stopping at Thessalonica, Berea, and Athens. In this study, we will continue with Paul to the end of the second missionary journey, and then begin the third missionary journey. We read in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them. And because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. From Athens, Paul went to the city of Corinth in Greece. He could have traveled either by land along the isthmus, about 50 miles, or by sea. In those days, Corinth had a population of about 250,000 free citizens, plus as many as 400,000 slaves. Corinth was the chief city of Greece. It functioned as a crossroads for travelers and traders, and had two harbors. Goods flowed through the city from Italy and Spain to the west, and from Asia Minor, Phoenicia and Egypt to the east. The culture, of course, was characterized by typical Greek features. People were interested in philosophy and placed a high premium on wisdom. Concerning religion, there were 12 temples. One of the most infamous was the temple dedicated to Aphrodite, the goddess of love, whose worshippers practiced religious prostitution. But the Jews had also established a synagogue. Corinth became known as a center of open and unrestrained immorality. In this setting, Paul came to preach the gospel. In Corinth, Paul met a Christian couple of Jewish origin, Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila was a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. The couple came from Rome to Corinth. Why? Because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. The emperor expelled the Jews from Rome because of the tumults and riots they caused among the population. The reason was Christ. Both Jews who were against Christianity and Jews converted to Christianity were forced to leave Rome. Paul had some precious aspects in common with Aquila and Priscilla. The main thing was the Christian faith. Wherever we go, when we meet people who are Christians, as us, we feel close to them immediately. The common faith in the one and only Savior binds us together. Apart from the Christian faith, Paul, Aquila, and Priscilla had another aspect in common. They were tent makers by trade. tent maker could refer to canvas sails and large ropes for ships. Aquila and Priscilla kindly offered their home for Paul to stay. As it was Paul's common practice when arriving at a certain place, he went to the synagogue every Sabbath and preached the gospel in the hope of persuading Jews and Greeks. In Corinth, Paul was joined by two of his companions. The report is given in Acts chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Silas and Timothy had remained in Athens when Paul left. Now they joined Paul in Corinth. Being surrounded by Christian friends and working companions is a good way of encouraging each other and to share the joys and the burdens. Paul worked hard in Corinth, preaching and testifying on the basis of the Old Testament that Jesus is the Christ. As it happened earlier several times, some Jews opposed Paul and became abusive. Paul shook out his clothes as a sign of protest and to make it plainly clear that they were responsible before God's throne for their hostile attitude. They had opportunity to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ but rejected it deliberately. Today God continues to give opportunities to people to hear the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. He gives time and adds time. For how long? We don't know. But the moment can come when God turns from those who persistently reject him. In the case of Paul, he turned from the Jews to the Gentiles. By the way, Paul was commissioned by the Lord to take the gospel especially to the Gentiles. In the sequence of events, we read in Acts chapter 18, verses 7 and 8. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. Paul left the usual place of worship of the Jews and found another place to do his work. Next door to the synagogue, Paul was welcomed in the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. Titius was a common Roman name. Titius must have been in the synagogue listening to the gospel and came to faith. Now he offered his house as a preaching place for Paul. Faith expresses itself in actions of love. In spite of opposition, the gospel bore fruits in Corinth. The love of the Savior Jesus Christ also touched the heart of Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household. They believed in the Lord and were baptized. This refrain in the book of Acts sounds so sweet. The gospel is preached, people are given faith and are baptized. I hope you can say the same concerning yourself. God has reached out to you. The Holy Spirit created faith. You have been baptized and made part of the family of faith. Perhaps the example of Titius Justus, who offered his home as a preaching place for Paul, could inspire you to do something similar. Perhaps your home could become a meeting place for Bible studies and divine services. Family members, neighbors, and friends could be invited. And who knows, from a little beginning in your home, a congregation could develop. It has happened many times and it still can happen. While Paul worked in Corinth, the Lord spoke to Paul. Acts chapter 18 verses 9 to 11 tell the following. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. One of the means of God communicating in those days with his servants was through visions, either a physical appearance or dreams in the night. In the vision, the Lord encouraged Paul to be bold, to continue to preach. The Lord promised to guard Paul from danger. Paul was also reminded that the Lord had many people in the city of Corinth. The fields were ripe for harvest. In response to the Lord's message, Paul stayed a year and a half in Corinth, teaching the word of God. Opposition usually drove Paul from a city within a short period, but this time he stayed longer. While he was based in Corinth, Paul may also have taken the gospel to the neighboring districts of Achaia. In the 1980s, I was commissioned to work as a missionary in the northern region of Brazil, which is part of the Amazon area. When my wife, myself, and our little son approached by airplane the city of Boa Vista, it was night. Through the window of the airplane, we could watch what resembled a widespread sheet dotted with blinking lights. Each light meant a home in which people lived. As I contemplated the beautiful scene, came to my mind the Bible verse from Acts chapter 18 verse 10, where the Lord says, I have many people in this city. To those people I was sent to bring the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. A challenging task, but greatly rewarding. The Lord has many people scattered in metropolitan areas, cities, towns, villages, and rural areas. All of the inhabitants are loved by Jesus, and to all of them the gospel needs to be taken. A very big job indeed. Find out where and how you can help to accomplish this fabulous job.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere, and newcomers are always welcome.
Where God's work flourishes, hostility shows the fists. We are told in Acts chapter 18, verses 12 to 17. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. This man, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to them, If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things. So he drove them out. Then the crowd there turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the proconsul. And Gallio showed no concern whatsoever. A new character is brought into the story, Gallio, proconsul of Achaia. He was the brother of the philosopher Seneca, who happened to be the tutor of Emperor Nero. Gallio was admired as a man of exceptional fairness and calmness. He held the position of Roman governor over the province of Achaia. Interestingly, he was also responsible to decide matters of court. The Jews of Corinth launched a fierce attack on Paul and brought him to court in the presence of Gallio. Paul was accused of persuading people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. What was contrary to the law? Judaism was a religion recognized by Roman law, but Christianity was not. So the Jews argued that Paul was fostering a religion not recognized by Roman law and therefore illegal. If he was given the opportunity to defend himself, he would have had the chance to argue that the gospel he was preaching was the faith of his fathers and thus authorized by Roman law. Anyway, Gallio understood that the point of conflict belonged to the Jewish law, not to the Roman law. For this reason, he refused to recognize the charge brought against Paul. Roman officials typically viewed Christians as a sect of Judaism for a long time. Gallio handed the issue back to the Jews. "It belongs to you," Gallio said. "Settle the matter yourselves." Gallio ejected the accusers from the court. Consequently, the crowd turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the proconsul. Sosthenes was the second ruler of the synagogue in Corinth and must have become a Christian. At any rate, enemies of the gospel vent their feelings on Sosthenes, beating him in the presence of Gallio. Gallio could have intervened, but he didn't. In spite of adversities, however, the gospel was kept in motion and taken to other places. This is what we read in Acts chapter 18, verses 18 to 22. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed to Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchreae because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After working some time in Corinth, Paul sailed to Syria. Paul planned to report back to the believers in Syrian Antioch who sponsored his work. Priscilla and Aquila traveled along with Paul, for they were his co-workers. But when they arrived in Ephesus, Paul left them there to advance the gospel. Before they sailed, Paul had his hair cut off at Cenchreae because of a vow he had taken. It was probably a temporary Nazarite vow in thanksgiving. Different vows were frequently taken to express thanks for deliverance from grave dangers. Shaving the head marked the end of the vow. Once in Ephesus, a leading commercial city of Asia Minor and the capital of provincial Asia, Paul reasoned with the Jews in the synagogue. But he declined the request to spend more time with them. He promised to come back if it was God's will. Paul did return for an extended stay in Ephesus. Since Priscilla and Aquila stayed in Ephesus, they would give valuable support upon Paul's return providing advice concerning the work to be done. Paul moved on and landed at Caesarea and went to Jerusalem, where he greeted the church. From there he went to Antioch in Syria and completed his second missionary journey. Would that be the end of Paul's travels? The answer is given in Acts chapter 18, verses 23 to 28. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region through Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man, with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Paul spent some time in Antioch. Then he set out from there on his third missionary journey. Paul visited several places throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Believers needed constant support and encouragement, especially because of hardships and persecution. A new character is introduced in the events. A Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, who came to Ephesus. Alexandria in Egypt was the second most important city in the Roman Empire and had a large Jewish population. Apollos likely learned the Scriptures from Jewish teachers in Alexandria and had training in rhetoric. He trusted in the coming Messiah, but he knew only the baptism of John. John's baptism was not in the name of Jesus. It was based on repentance rather than on faith in the finished work of Christ. It was a temporary institution in preparation for the coming Messiah and the baptism he would institute. Somehow Apollos did not know the distinction of Christian baptism. Apollos, like Paul, began teaching about Jesus in the synagogue in Ephesus. Christians continued worshiping and witnessing in the synagogue as long as they were allowed. Priscilla and Aquila invited Apollos to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. They had accurate knowledge about Jesus, so they privately instructed the learned teacher Apollos, particularly about Christian baptism. Apollos became an important instrument in the early church. He traveled to Achaia, including Corinth, with the written approval of the believers in Ephesus. He was of great help to the believers. He refuted the Jews in public debate, providing from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Apollos preached the same message Paul preached. Today, the gospel is brought to you. Take it for your benefit and also share it.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.